A warning, this story also contains confronting medical details which you may find distressing. Survivors of female genital mutilation are fighting back against a so-called compromise which could let a modified form of the procedure continue. Now, two gynecologists from the US are arguing for a less radical version of the surgery. Imogen Brennan reports.
Khadija Blah was 13 years old when she came to Australia as a refugee from war-torn Sierra Leone.
Just before I came to Australia, my mom had female genital mutilation performed on me. She came home one day and said we were going on a holiday. And once we got to the village, this old lady came out with a rusty old knife. She went into a little hut. My mom forced me to follow. And when we got there, she took my clothes off and then she held me down on the floor. But she grabbed hold of my clitoris and then she started cutting and sawing away for what felt like hours. But then she also cut off my labia majora, my outer lips.
Khadija Blah was deeply traumatised by the event. Almost 20 years on, she still has nightmares about that day.
And they just left me there to bleed and wonder what the hell just happened to me.
Her experience is not rare. In some cultures, the practice, which is known as female genital mutilation, FGM, genital alteration and cutting, is considered a rite of passage. The UN estimates that at least 200 million girls worldwide have been subjected to genital cutting in both developing and developed countries. Usually it's women who carry out the practice, but Khadija Blah says they're simply the messengers for a culture of patriarchy.
They believe that if they cut off the clitoris, essentially you will have no sexual desire and you will stay faithful to your husband.
In a paper published in today's Journal of Medical Ethics, two gynecologists in America are arguing that small nicks should be used as a compromise. Kavita Shah Arora is an assistant professor of reproductive biology and bioethics at Metro Health Medical Center. She's a practicing gynecologist and a co-author of the paper. She says practices that have no permanent physical effects could protect young women from severe forms of genital cutting.
It really is a harm reduction strategy. An example would be a nick on the vulva. So just a small little cut, it would heal over just like a cut does on any other part of our body. I think we have to ask ourselves why we can have a procedure where there is morphological change done to male infants, but not any sort of procedure on female infants, even if they have no risk.
Khadija Blah again.
This is dangerous, basically, where we're going with this. It's almost like we're trying to water down FGM to a point where, in fact, it's not FGM anymore. It's just normalized that we think little girls and their private parts needs to be altered somehow.
Paula Ferrari is the managing director of the non-profit group No FGM Australia.
What you're talking about with female genital mutilation is a form of control of female sexuality and often destroying female sexuality. And that is not what happens with male circumcision. People need to speak out if they know about girls who are in danger of female genital mutilation. It's illegal in Australia and it's a form of child abuse. So we need to take it out of that cultural cul-de-sac and just treat it as a form of violence against girls, as a form of child abuse.
Paula Ferrari from No FGM Australia, ending Imogen Brennan's report. And if you or someone you know is affected by this, the helpline for No FGM Australia is 1800 522 707.